John chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading today with the 10th verse. And so John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. We're going to end with verse 23 and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask for your strength and for your wisdom as we continue to enjoy these verses of Scripture, verse by verse, as we look here at the Gospel of John. We enjoyed so much back in the third chapter when we looked at you must be born again and covered that and studied that and fellowshipped over it. And we continue now with this Samaritan woman. And so please that you just show us today with all your strength and your power that your love will come down and show every one of these folks your power and strength. And we know, dear Father, that your love is shown through your Son, the Lord Jesus. That's the greatest love anyone could ever share, is to give your only begotten Son to save us, to save an enemy of you. And yet, that is what you have given to us. And so please today, all that are here, that they will hear the call of salvation and accept it as this woman of Samaria did. And also, Father, today that we look to your word as we enjoy the Sunday school classes, now we've come together to pour over your word once again. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us. Give me the strength and the words and the clarity to speak it ever just as clear as it can be, just as simple as it can be, dear Lord, please. I thank you for this opportunity to come together and for this family. Now please guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Just a little review. There was some discussion here between the Pharisees and the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist. And there was much conversation that took place here. And they came to a city, and Jesus said he left Judah and departed again to Galilee, verse 3. And the reason that was done is because those in in Judah, and especially in Jerusalem, had no desire to hear the truth. They didn't want the truth. They didn't care about the truth. They were actually trying to seek a way to eliminate the Lord Jesus. Instead of accepting him as Savior, they wanted to get rid of him. And so they left. And that's what we've just studied in the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, that when someone rejects you, you just dust your shoes off and go on to the next city. And by doing that, it actually brings judgment against that home or that city by them rejecting the very gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it needs go through Samaria. Lord Jesus never does anything just by chance. You know, you get up in the morning, and what are you going to do today? You know, if it's a Monday morning, why, if you need to go to work, you go to work. If you have things at the house to do, you have things at the house to do. And so you take care of those things. But your plans can change. As I leave for work every morning, I have the day all lined out. Very seldom do I end up going where I plan to go. My day is changed almost instantly by the time I get to the office, and you get to the answering machine, and you find out what's going on, and the cell phone gets to ringing off the off your hip, not off the wall, and so you enjoy the day, and don't let it bother you when it gets it all turned upside down, because I never know what the day is going to hold and what you're going to do. The Lord Jesus does. Jesus knew exactly what needed to be done and where he needed to go. He had needs to go to Samaria. There was a purpose for it, a definite purpose. And we find there getting a little understanding of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is God, completely God, but he took on the body of a man. And so we find at this time, and it was at the middle of the day, I believe, the sixth hour. Some believe that's 6 o'clock in the evening. I believe that it's noon, depending on the times would change often as far as how they looked at time. At the center of the day, the only way they traveled was by foot. And so they walked and they walked, and they come to this place in Samaria. And Jesus was physically tired. And so he sat on the edge of the well. And as he sat on the edge of the well, there was a woman of Samaria that come. And he asked a question of this woman of Samaria. And you think, well, that's not so strange. Here Jesus is a foreigner, a traveler through there. Why not ask for something to drink? It's because a Jew would never speak to a Samaritan. And as we talked about last week, when a Jew, what they call a good Jew, a religious Jew, when he would wake up in the morning, he would pray that his eyes and his feet, his eyes would never look up on a Samaritan, or his feet would take him down the path that he would run into one. They prayed never to see a Samaritan. That's how much they hated him. That was the prayer of their day as they started. Here was a Jew asking a question to the Samaritan. And that question was, give me to drink. The disciples, it tells us, had went out to buy food for dinner. And so that was verse 8. And it puzzled her a little bit what that question was. How come you're asking me, being a Jew, and I being a Samaritan? That's where we start here in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that said to you, to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. It started out sitting on the edge of the well, asking this Samaritan woman for a drink. And when she had the discussion that, I don't know why you're even talking to me. I don't know, I don't, Jews don't talk to us. We discussed the problems with who the Samaritan woman was. Samaria itself is become a mixture due to the Syrian, the Assyrians, Babylon. There was the captivities, all these things. And when they came back, this area of Samaria became filled with foreigners. And then the Jews would kind of come in and intermarry with these foreigners. Well, that was without question no to a Jew. You did not marry out, shouldn't marry outside your tribe, let alone outside of the of being a Jew. That you just didn't. Number one, that was God's command originally, and also, and so anyone that did, then you were an outcast, a reject. They didn't want anything to do with you. And the Jews, in their pious, self-righteous way, really filled that bill, and they did everything they could do never to see one. So for this man, Jesus, and we know he's God, this woman didn't, ask, give me to drink. She had the discussion of, why are you talking to me? Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, the end of verse 9 says. But Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who said to you, give me to drink, if you knew, you would ask, and he would give you living water. Living water. In the Old Testament, we think to ourselves, what a comment. But living water in the Old Testament speaks of the coming Messiah. Talks about the Messiah. And so Isaiah 12:3 tells us, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. So see, they had the Old Testament. Yes, the Samaritans were a far distance away from worshiping the true God and serving God and studying the Old Testament scriptures, but they still knew it. And when he would say living water, that meant something to this woman. Zechariah 14:8 says, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea and half of them towards the hinder sea. In the summer and in the winter shall it be. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and plants his feet, and returns to this earth, the mount is going to divide and the waters are going to go both directions. And once again, this fertile land of Judah and Israel and Canaan will be watered and be just so productive. That's going to happen when Jesus returns. They were looking for the Messiah, but he refers once again to the living water. And so that very statement should have brought some questions. She knew what that was all about. Look what the woman said next here. The woman said unto him, verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Much like Nicodemus, isn't she? When Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus and said, Jesus said to him, you must be born again. What did he say? I have to go back in my mother's womb and be born again. This was an educated man. And yet, that's the only thing he could realize. You see, if you're not born again, you do not have a spiritual mind. You do not have the wisdom of God to learn and to study. You've just got an earthly mind, a fleshly mind. That's all that's there. And so Nicodemus had a very similar question, and this woman said the same thing. After she kind of got over this Jew asking her a question, he said, you don't even have anything to draw with. You have no rope. You've got no bucket. And it's suggested that this well could be as deep as 100 feet. How would you like to draw water for the livestock, for your family, and have to drop a bucket 100 feet and winch that water back up again to fill a container, a jar, or something that you've brought, only to lower that bucket and do that repeatedly, morning and night, so that you'd have water. We get disgusted when we go and turn the faucet on, the faucet won't work. Every morning and every night, these women will go to this well. This woman knew what it took to draw water. She was still a little mistaken and still a little mixed up on the question of the living water. The only way you can get any kind of water is with a bucket and a rope. That's it. A bucket and a rope. That's all she could see. That's all she could understand. How are you going to give me this living water? How are you going to give me any water at all? And then she is looking at this Jew, and she's going to make a connection here that a lot of times you wouldn't realize that she had, and that is that she made the statement in verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" See, we've got Abraham was the father of our faith. He's the one that came from Ur of Chaldees and came to Canaan first. And then at 100 years old, they gave birth, him and Sarah had a little boy, and that little boy was Isaac. And then Isaac had two boys, and that was Jacob and Esau. Well, the line went through Jacob. Now, Jacob, he had 12 sons. Jacob had 12 sons. That is the beginning of the 12 tribes of Israel, right there, those 12 sons. And so when she went back, and this is Jacob's well, and we don't have any reason to think that he probably didn't have some of his hired men, his slaves, to dig this well. And so it's Jacob's well, and are you stronger? Can you give us better water to drink for ourselves, for our children, for our cattle? Now, I don't know if you folks have carried much water to cattle. Cattle drink a lots of water. Now, I don't know how many cattle they had. I don't know how many children they had. But this woman was responsible for drawing this water, and she knew it was good water, and she knew every time she came to the well and she dropped that bucket in that well and she pulled that water up, she would have water. That well has never went dry. She turns to Jesus. Can you do better than that? What's better than that? That's what she wanted to know. What can you improve on? What is better than that? She claims to be of the family of Jacob, which she is. Mixture of several different peoples of the earth at the time, not to mention some Jewish blood that was there. She does seem to be proud of this connection, this relationship she has with Jacob, as well as with the land and with the well. But we also know that the Samaritans did not follow the word of God. She knew of Jacob. She knew of Jacob's well. She was talking to the Messiah, God himself, and yet she still didn't have a lot of understanding. Because you see, when the kingdoms were divided, and at this time no longer are the kingdoms divided, they have come back together, but this land of Samaria has stayed with worshiping in Bethel and in Dan, as we've talked about. We have the golden calves at each end. There was a mount here next to Samaria where they had built a temple, a place of worship. And the word of God is very clear that the only place that you come to worship and bring your sacrifices is to Jerusalem, without a question. They ignored all that. They ignored that. And so they really had their own God and did what they wanted to do. She asks a question here, are you greater than our father Jacob? How could you be greater than that? Now, the Lord Jesus here could have made a very bold statement and said, I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. But Jesus knew the heart of this woman, and he knew that she wouldn't understand that, nor would she accept that. And so he stayed with the same statement now. He didn't argue with her. He just said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. So it wouldn't matter if I had a bucket and if I had a rope and I could draw this water up out of this well. It wouldn't be any different than the water that you're drawing. And when he said you're going to thirst again, remember what we just said. Every morning, every evening, she comes to that well to draw water. Why? She's thirsty. The children's thirsty. The family's thirsty. The cattle are thirsty. She comes to draw water because after a very short period of time of having something to drink, we're thirsty again. We're thirsty. And yet he speaks of a living water. He goes on now in this 14th verse. He made a statement, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. She understood that. Look at how the Lord Jesus is bringing this Samaritan woman. Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Jesus is making the connection between Jacob's well and the water that's in it and what he has to give. And he calls it living water. He knew that she would listen. All that are thirsty are invited to drink. The question comes, are you willing to drink of this living water that he has to offer? He offers it freely. He says, I shall give him that I shall give him shall never thirst. This living water, this water that I give, shall never thirst again. The woman said in verse 15, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. When you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust in him, it's just like a spring. We have a couple of springs behind our house. And I have been back and looked at those springs and watched those springs. And even in the driest time in my life, in my 58-plus years, I have never been back to that spring that it was ever dry. It was never ever. You could always have cattle back there, and you always knew those cattle had water. That old water just comes right out of the rocks, and it just keeps coming. Above the old ditch, the old creek could be just as dry as a bone. But from that place on, there was this water. And you know what? In a dry time, you could see the nourishment that that water gave from there on down. The trees, the grass, the weeds, all the things that could grab their nourishment from that water as it flowed by. And it was always there. It was always there. Now, that water keeps flowing. Just because that water out of that spring would come through once and then end, it would be of no power, no strength, no importance. But because it comes and continues. And that's the way salvation is. Once we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, we receive that living water, and we need to just continue enjoy it, but it is everything that we need. It's everything that we need. Now, do we need to call on Him for strength each day? Yes. But it's not because He has shut the faucet off or plugged the dam up or stopped the fountain from flowing. It's because we've stopped receiving it and started to do things on our own. All we have to do is turn back to Him, and that flow of fresh living water, life, literally life, nothing can survive without water. You can go for many, many days without food, but you can't go very long without water. And I believe that's the reason He uses this example, the living water. And He calls for this lady to come, never thirst, and all our needs. Grace, God's grace is sufficient. Out of all this conversation, out of all these words that have been shared, she finally comes up with what Jesus is looking for. And those words is, give me this water. Oh, wonderful. She's finally getting she's understanding what's going on. Give me this water. But what did she say right after that? I believe she means with all of her heart, give me this water. But what's her purpose? Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She still didn't see that spiritual need, but you see, the Word of God is starting to convict her heart. It's starting to deal with her to the point that she asked for the water. She's still thinking of things of the earth. Boy, that way I'll never thirst again, and I'm never going to have to draw this water again, because I would love to get out of this responsibility. Yes, give me that water. Give me that water. She's still thinking of the flesh. Now here's where things turn around. She's beginning to listen to the words of God. He is getting this Samaritan woman to respond. Give me the water. Now he says in verse 16, go and call thy husband and come back. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And be very careful here to see. This Samaritan woman was a sinner. Every one of us are sinners. The world says that some are worse than others, but they're not. If there's one thing that we're all mankind is equal on, and that's sin. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. Jesus knew the life of this woman. He knew everything about her. And yet, when she said, her response is, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you've given me a good, true answer. She could have went, got the man she's living with, brought him back. Who's to know the difference? She's learning who she's in the presence with. Give me that water. I have no husband. Do you think she was shocked when Jesus came back with the next response? Your statement's true. Your statement's right. Because you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. This thou sayest thou truly. Two times, when most would condemn and criticize, instead of that, he was actually complimenting this lady for telling the truth. You've told me the truth. You have no husband, and you have told me the truth. Now, what happened when Jesus' kind response was in that manner? You've told me the truth. The woman said there, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Once again, we're back to Nicodemus. Now, almost identical statement Nicodemus made when Jesus says you must be born again. When he met the Lord Jesus the first time at night there, he said, "You know, I perceive that thou art a master. You know, you're a prophet. You must be a prophet." Well, isn't it something how a very religious man, taught by the best schools, in a very high place of authority, being Nicodemus, and we go to the opposite end of the spectrum to a woman that is not very seldom, if ever, in the Word of God, lived a very worldly life, and yet she makes the same statements, almost identical statements. You see, it doesn't matter if you're a churchgoer and everything else, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. You're a sinner. The only difference between coming by faith to Jesus and rejecting Jesus is you can be a sinner lost, or you can be a sinner saved. And there'll be a time when we'll receive our glorified bodies and be perfect. But until that time, we need to continue to look to the Word of God and get our strength from His Word and grow and see how Jesus witnessed, how He shared His Word, the Gospel. And He said it so clearly and so simply. He didn't come condemning this woman, criticizing her for her lifestyle or who she was or anything else. He wanted her to be saved. And He knew how to do it. He used that well. And He spoke of living water, something she was familiar with. And she says, "Give me that water." And now He says, I perceive thou art a prophet. And then she goes kind of off again in verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped in the mountains, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." You'll find when you're visiting with somebody about the Lord Jesus that they'll try everything they can to get you off base. Most people right here would get into an argument and say, "Now, you're wrong because you shouldn't be worshiping in Samaria. You should be in Jerusalem." But you notice what Jesus said. He didn't condemn her for going there. He did make it very clear, however, He did not avoid the truth by any means, because He is God and can't. Jesus says, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Where you worship, you don't even know what you worship. We know what we worship, because the Word of God brings everybody to Jesus." They had left the Word. Says, "You don't know who you worship. We do. We worship the true God. For salvation is of the Jews." And at that time, salvation was of the Jews. To have five husbands, to be living with a man now and not have a husband, not be married to him, we're not sure of any of the relationships. Jesus didn't care. What matters is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? The rest is taken care of. But right now, you must know Jesus. Too many churches, too many places. Had a man years ago. He was drunk, and drunk most of the time. He'd get his paycheck every 2 weeks, and within just a few hours, he'd drink up every cent he had. I get the chance, he was a neighbor, to get a chance to share the gospel with him. And he was deceived by some television preachers through the years because he said, I've got to quit drinking before I can be saved. He could tell me that drunk. He could tell me that I need to quit drinking and then I'll get saved. And I told him, I said, drunk or sober, call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation and you will be saved. Can't do it. Can't do it. I've got to quit drinking. When I quit drinking, did he think that's his only sin? But some television preacher said that you got to straighten your life up and then come. No. Come to Jesus and he'll take care of the rest. That man's died. He did quit drinking. Went to drinking. I was going to say it real quick. Mountain Dew. As if that is better for you than... At least he wasn't drunk, but I'm not sure he didn't die from the amount of Mountain Dew he drank. But to show you when he was sober, and I said, he come to me and he says, I've quit drinking. It'd been a month, a couple months. And I said, wonderful. I said, are you ready to trust in Jesus? And he laughed and walked away. He's dead now. He's dead now. Use whatever you want to for an excuse not to come. This woman gave the right answers to Jesus. Come back next week. It's not long. She's going to get saved. She's going to get saved. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come and read your word and fellowship together. I just ask that you will guide and lead us today to a place of security, knowing we're saved, and then enjoying that walk with you, dear Lord. We don't have to start enjoying your power and your presence when we get to heaven. We start it and begin just the second that you come by faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you died on the cross of Calvary that we can live. All we have to do is believe that you died on the cross for us to save us. That's it. Please, dear Lord, just touch every heart today, whatever the need is. As this Samaritan woman slowly started to listen and allowed that word to convict her heart, I ask that that be the same today. Now please, just touch every heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.